Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I'm an SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just to remind how to join us, we have talk guests every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions, and the call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Either go to the TalkShoe website, www.talkshoe.com. Search the call ID, 17702, or Starfleet Universe On Call. Or, if you want to, you can go over to twitch.tv. Yes, we do co-broadcast over there. You can see my lovely, lovely face over at twitch.tv. Let's go to twitch.tv/SFU On Call. I monitor the chat room at Twitch so that I'd be happy to respond to anything that you post there. And hopefully tonight's going to be quite a wonderful podcast for that. And then you need to contact me for any reason. My email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to follow me on Twitter, also it's sfuoncall. Also, I have a personal account, which I also maintain. I rarely post, but hey, you want to follow me? That's fine. I'll just remember that I'm very very proud to be both a Catholic and O's fan, and I love technology. So, and of course, I love games. Every once in a while, I post about the games, but mostly it's about the, if I post anything, it's about the other three. So if you don't like any of those that I like posting about, you know, or any of those bothers you, then don't follow me. And of course, I also have the Franz Games account, which I use for posting updates when it comes to SFB Online and Starfleet Warlord. And of course, this lovely TalkCast gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from A to B. The biggest news, of course, actually the only news this week, is new Shapewave Minis. As I mentioned last week, they were coming out, and yep, they are out. Added onto the list of the many, many minis on Shapewave at the moment is the Federation Destroyer, Destroyer Leader, Destroyer Escort, the Police Corvette, the Battle Cruiser, the BCF kind, the Frigate FBS, which is the Frigate Scout, also the Gorn Frigate X ship, and also their Heavy Destroyer X ship, the Orion War Destroyer X ship, the Battle Raider X ship, and the Raider Cruiser X ship, the Zinti Fast Battle Cruiser, and also the Police Flagship, the Klingon ISF, and also the G2C Police Leader, the FWC, FWCB, and FWL. All those are considered war destroyer leaders. Don't ask me what the difference is, because I can't tell you. I just know they're all called the same thing. Moving on to the Sapphire Star Tournament. That's number 8 that's currently being run. Round 1, round 2, they're done. Completed, put them in the books, done. Now, just looking for, looks like at the moment, I dispute this. I think someone screwed up when it comes to reporting games, because currently it's, according to the tree says we have one semifinal game to play, and then we get to play the finals. But from my understanding, I only saw the round, I think there might still be one round two yet to play before the round three. Now, that's a problem, because I'll have to check to see, make sure that Mr. Petrick has been keeping up with those players, make sure they're not slacking, because I think they are slacking, and then he's slacking, which is overall not good. Moving on to the FedCom library, and I apologize. I've been just had a very, very, very busy week, so I've actually had no time to process any of the ships that have been sent from Chris. I apologize to Chris for not processing them and getting them up, but I do have time this weekend. I think I have time this weekend. I should have some time this weekend. Yeah, I do. To work on getting those posted and up, and so people can then enjoy the new ships that he's worked on. I know there's one, there's at least a few ships I need to work on, including there's a couple of Andromedans I have to work on. Also, I was given my favorite of all Klingon ship, the Klingon B-10T. And actually, just to let you know, I got a little treat from Steve Cole. He gave me these wonderful 3D views of the Klingon B-10T ship for my own personal collection, which I thank Steve Cole for being so wonderful and sending those to me. I will, you know, I will not be posting them. Those are for my own personal collection, because that's what he told me, and that's fine. I'm fine with that. It looks beautiful. So with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, it's the one and only Paul Friends, welcoming you, the Star of the Universe on call. And tonight, well, it's just me, which is good and dandy for this evening, because this evening we're going to be talking about Star Armada. It's part two of the Star Armada series. Actually, it's more on Klingon Armada, less on Star Armada itself. It's obviously it's the Klingon Armada, which is take a lot of the Star Armada, go trim it down to what is needed to play the SFU version of Star Armada with modifications. Boo! Actually, you'll understand what I mean by that very, very shortly, just because of. I read this one thing, and it gave me great hope. I was like, wow, this is what actually Barry really is kind of looking for, you know, in the way this thing works. And then it doesn't work like that, because they go, an SFB? No, nope. So let's get started then. Okay. And I just want to make sure that everything gets updated. Good. Everything's working according to plan. Now, as I mentioned that I was going to start doing, I think I mentioned last week, I was going to start doing ship systems. So I figured that's a good place to go. I'm not going to worry about combat, rolling for to hit, all this kind of stuff. That's not this week. That combat movement, all of that, that's going to be next week. That's going to be the next part in this ever-going process. That's the plan. I might actually put it in this week. You never know. I might run out of things to say about the ship systems. Now, okay. This is the ship systems that you see on the video. For those people on the podcast, I apologize. This is one of those ones that... I think it'll help. I'll try to describe it as best I can. I think we can actually, for the podcast, I think we can do a pretty good job here. Now, moving onward. Okay. In Star Armada, there's something called directional shields. And so, well, that's what SFB has for the Klingon Armada. Now, if you see on the screen, you see these directional shields. Like for this Klingon D7, you've got the front shield, that's the front arc, what we consider the front arc, has a rating of 8. The port, I think it's, yeah, port is right, has a rating of 7. Now, one thing to know that it's in Star Armada Unity Edition. Port is left. Thank you, Chris. Okay, so it's starboard. So starboard is 7. When it comes to the Unity Edition, I think I mentioned last week, the Admiralty Edition had 6 actual directional shields. That didn't quite work. And I agree, something needed to be changed, because that really did not work. So what they did is they limited it down to having all the normal shields. They actually have, the normal six position shields. They only have four. Now, that's kind of weird if you think overall, because now you basically have four shields. You have one which covers the front arc. You've got one that covers the left arc. One covers the right arc. And one that covers the rear arc. And if you think about that, it's kind of weird because of what we're used to. Because what we're used to is, you know, the six shields. But so it's a lot. So you only have to do four shields. Okay. So the front arc shield is eight. The starboard and the port. Yeah. Thank you, Chris. Is most rated at seven, and it goes like, you know, it just counts down from the box. There's 7, 6, 5, 3, 2, 1. You know, one at a time. And then the rear arc is six. Okay. Then you have, in this case, I'm showing up D7 on the screen. It has a hull rating of nine, so it has no. In SFB terms, it has nine hull boxes. So, in, you know, relative innocuous internal systems that are, I think, if I recall correctly, with Starmada, that's, they used a number of hull boxes to define the size of the ship. So, you know, if it's a nine hull ship, so it says how large it is. Next is you got your engine rating. Engine rating tells you how much, basically how fast you can go, is what it comes down to. Now, this is Starmada. So, the rating of a D7 engines, six. Now, it's kind of, I'll mention that right now. But there's something down below that I have to reference because of, it's tied to that engine rating, which is EPR, or engine power ratio. Now, Starmada does something kind of weird. And that is that Starmada, when it comes, more to the point, Klingon Armada, what it does is it simulates for certain weapons, for certain actions, the use of energy. But they have what's called PP, or power points. Right, just one quick thing. Chris was mentioning how the hull max hull is equal to the total number of FedCom damage boxes divided by 10. Okay, but still, you know, it's basically it defines the size of the ship. Anyway, getting back to that. Now, it took me a while to understand PowerPoints. Not PowerPoints themselves. How do PowerPoints get generated? It took me a while. I finally figured it out. The wording is, to say the very least, difficult. Let me see if I can bring it up here. This is weapons. Yes, there is stealth. This, for those people watching at home. Oh, that's one thing I'll be talking about in a later episode, which is about fighters and shuttles and those things. This is, let me see if I can find it real quick. But okay, this is too far. I'm too Okay, these are, oh, wait, I think it's, is it right here? Here it is. Here it is. Here's the rules as it is stated in the rule book, which I think is, it's confusing. It tells what it is, but to get your, wrap your head around it, it's very difficult in my mind. Here's what it says, and I quote, each starship has an energy power, our energy power ratio, EPR, listed with the other traits. This is used to generate power points, which can be spent during the game turn to perform certain actions, certain tasks, which is, I'll come back to that, exactly what those tasks are. For each point a ship engine's rating exceeds its engine requirement, a number of power points equal to the EPR are generated at the conclusion of the movement phase. Okay, what does that mean? Took me a moment, but I finally figured it out. What it actually means, because Lord knows they could have easily worded this better, more succinctly, and actually more, since most people here, I'm willing to bet that most people playing tactical board games, things like this, or have an engineering mindset at the very least. Basically, it's a simple equation. You take what you do, you take your energy, your engine rating, subtract the engine requirements for the movement that you're going to be doing for the turn, and then take the result of that, multiply that by your EPR, and dun, 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 you've got your power points for that turn. Wasn't that easier to understand than what I just said? You know, it took me a good bit of time just to think through that and understand what in God's green earth do they mean. Even the example is not a great example. And as it is, it's incorrect. At least the way I understand the movement plot. Because the movement plot they say is 3L1. 3L1, my understanding, is 5 movement. According to previous examples given in this rule book. Because L is a side slip. Now, so even though this is goofy. Now, it's saying that, oh, that's only 4 movement. I disagree. That's actually 5. Though, here's the weird part, which is, here it is. It says, side slips do not add to Starship's engine requirement, although they do add to its speed. So, basically, what you're telling me, even though that, according to that special rule, the special modification to what side slips actually do. So in the case of, now here's the weird part. They say that and then they write this. The example, say, okay, side slips plots, side slip the opposing direction, about the same direction. However, the ship must move forward at least 1 hex between side slips. Okay, that's true. They say 2LR2R. Now, they give as the amount of engine requirement for that as a 6. So that's saying basically you moved forward 2, you did a left side slip, you moved forward 2, then you did a right side slip. That's 6 movement. Now, how this example jives with what they just said, I don't know. Because it says, so my understanding is that basically that it, you have a speed of 6. So if some, you know, it's a speed of 6. So given your speed of 6, your engine, but according to this, the engine requirement would only be 4. Because it says, as stated, that side slips do not reduce the, so they do not reduce the engine requirement. Okay, so basically they're considered the same, which brings me back to this example, 3L14. No, that's an incorrect example. Then it should be 2L14, which means it goes straight to left side slip and then go forward one, which is 4. So I have to check for the addendum is what I need to do, because it's possible that was fixed in an addendum, though I'm pretty sure that this version of Klingon Armada, the PDF that you're looking at right now, is this PDF is the most up-to-date PDF. So nix that. I'm not sure if they actually put out addendum things for that. I'll be looking into that, because if not, I'm going to report this as a error that needs corrected, you know, at the very least mentioned that the example was incorrect. Because if this one of those two examples are wrong, either 3L1 is a 5, or it should be a 2L1 to be a 4, which I think is what they meant. There's a 2L1. Or the 2L2R6 is wrong. So, it's, as I said, that was one of the things that it struck me as could have been worded to make it easier to understand. You know, so let me get back to where I was. I probably should have dropped the bookmark. And that would be probably, there it is, 60. I rotated for your enjoyment in the PDF. That's the great thing about preview. Now, moving on and forward, because so now you understand engines and PowerPoints. Now, when it comes just to mention about PowerPoints, what can you use PowerPoints for? There are a few things. Number one, overloaded, what are called they're considered slow weapons. I'll talk about those in a bit. You can also use it for one-time reinforcement per volley. It costs you 1 PowerPoint to do that. Then you also can use PowerPoints for tractor beam. You know, the standard SFB tractor auction, you know. Which, again, the way the tractors work in Klingon Armada is different than standard Star Armada, which is fine. No, and I think I got it all. Right. And also the, just a mention here, I'll probably mention it again in another episode. Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. Thank you, Chris, for reminding me. You actually can use it to buy more movement points, which is, if you think about it, it is weird. But if I call correctly, Chris, remind me if I'm incorrect in this, and that is that you can basically buy movement for the current turn using leftover PowerPoints from the previous turn. I think I got that right. But while I wait for him to respond on that, I'll continue on. We have this what's called weapon box. So I got it correct, but it's only up to your EPR, basically your energy power ratio. So you only can spend up, in the case of a Klingon D7, you only can spend up to 4 power points to add more movement for the current turn. And it has to be leftover power points from the previous turn. It's like batteries kind of thing. Weapons. Oops. What the heck is that? That's weird. Anyway, up here. It's kind of a weapons track. Right. Chris is just mentioning that you keep up to your EPR rating over the turn. Basically, the EPR, energy power ratio, that acts as a battery, i.e. limiting how much you can transfer from the previous turn, which is basically kind of like FedCom. Yeah, and Chris has just mentioned the same. Now, this is an interesting way of doing this. And given how Starmada works, it's a good idea, I think. I think it works well. Now, it definitely simplifies things. Okay, what's a weapon track? The weapons track is this. It tells you how many weapons you can currently use, basically. In the case of the D7, it's 19. It starts with 19. That's all the weapons. There's 19 different weapons on the entire ship. Now, after you won, the whole track goes 19, 16, 12, 8, 4. Which means that as the ship gets damaged, and if you get a weapon hit, which can be really nasty, because what that means is that you have, it marks off one of the tracks, one of the boxes on the track. So you, in the case of a Klingon, this Klingon D7, you go from 19 down, okay, you mark off the 19 box, that means you only have 16 weapons that you can fire. So what that means is you have to damage, disable, whatever term you want to use, 3 of the weapons of your choosing. Three of the weapons boxes here. There is a rule about how many of each you can take when it comes to weapons batteries. And that's one thing I didn't quite understand. Yeah, it's lost limits. Chris is mentioning, yeah. I didn't quite get that clear in my head before I started the podcast. I'll probably go through it later, like maybe next week, so that I can make sure that you understand. So I apologize for not fully understanding that and clarifying how that damage takes place. But that might be something I'll put off to another episode where I'm going to talk about damage allocation and how that's going to work. Okay, so I'll put that off until next week, and next week we'll do some combat example. Basically, we'll move on to combat itself. Now, okay, you got the different weapons. Now, the way it's defined, which is interesting. Okay, in Starmada, you've got 3 ranges. You've got short, medium range, and long. And that's how it's defined here for the phase. You've got 3, 6, 9. that is the ranges. So in the case of phaser one, it's got a max range of 9. Now, I understand people are screaming, oh, an SFB, they got range of what? I think 20-something. But remember that this ship has an engine rating of 6. Oh, that's another thing. Just a quick mention of movement, and that is that because of... It's simulating SFB to a certain degree. Well, to as much as it can, using the rules. It does not use vector-based movement. That means your previous speed is always considered speed 0, according to the start of movement rules. So, when it comes to calculating costs and things like that, when it comes to movement... So, basically, with an engine rating of 6, and assuming that you have not spent power points to buy more movement, this is sit right there, okay? You've got a maximum range, maximum movement of 6 hexes. This isn't SFB, where you've got each turn, you have a maximum number of hexes that you can move is 31 hexes. You can fly across the freaking board. In Star Armada, no. You don't fly across the board. As it is, to be honest, there's one thing I'm thinking about is that Normally in a normal tournament battle, you know, duel, there's a tournament duel, you know, that kind of thing. You start at like, it's range 35, but I thought range 35 was the maximum range for a seeking weapon and not the starting range for tournament. But I know it's pretty distant. Let's just say it's 35, just for giggles. If you're going 30, you're starting at range 35 in Star Armada, it's going to take you at the max, at least the minimum of like 2 turns just to get within weapons range. 3 turns possibly to engage, and that's if you both are. Let me see. Yeah. You're both flying at max speed, and as it is, at max speed. While in normal SFB or even FedCom, you can close that distance easily in one turn. So my guess is that you have two possibilities. Either you can just use the standard starting positions, or you can start at a closer range. And just say, you know, let's not waste time just moving our ships, you know. So, onward and forward. So here's the phaser. Now, I agree with that. Chris is just mentioning that Star Armada turn is like a FedCom impulse. And then you move a few hexes and have firing opportunity. That is a good overall good overall, you know. Damn, I can't get the word out of my mouth. It's close to it. Let's put it that way. You know, it's a good comparison. I think that's a good way of putting it. And then you got the type of weapon. Now, phasers, and this, I know some people in NSFB or Guardians laugh at this idea. All phaser ones are considered defensive weapons. I understand that NSFB phaser ones aren't defensive weapons, but in the case of Starmada, all that means is that you have no modifiers. You see, when you fire, whether you're short, medium, or long, you have modifiers. In the case of medium range, there are no modifiers. If you're short range, I think you got a minus one modifier. In the case of long range, you got a plus one modifier. I think I got that right. So when it comes to the die rolls. In the case of, disruptors, which is, of course, again, this is going to be weird for SMB people, and that is in the case of disruptors, they're standard weapons. They have the modifiers based on medium, short, medium, and long, but the range brackets are 5, 10, 15. Which actually is kind of a standard range bracket for Starmada. At least that's what the rules seem to indicate. That this is kind of a standard that is used in Starmada, which to me makes perfect sense. it's fives. Now, overloads have a range bracket of 5 and 10, and no long range. Now, no long range because of it's a CRN. It's marked as a CRN, which is, in the case of Starmada, it's called carronade. What that means is that a carronade is a weapon that cannot fire at long range. That's basically what it means. Now, as you notice here, it has right here, I hate that, it says 2 PP. Which means for every single weapon that you fire, every single overloaded disruptor that you fire, it costs you 2 power points. While all the other weapons, the phaser ones, the phaser twos, the drone racks, the standard disruptors, none of them cost you power points. But you're only allowed to fire them once a turn. So it's one of those things that, again, you take FedCom and you simplify it one more bracket, and that's Starmada. Because now you still have the concept of energy to a certain degree, but you don't have tracking. You don't allocate energy on an actual energy allocation form. FedCom, you don't do that, but you still have to track your energy. In the case of Klingon Armada, you don't have to track your energy. You only have to track your energy for the turn, and that's only for certain tasks. And apologize for that. My light moved. But anyway, where was it? Yeah. It has the idea of energy, but you don't track it that much. It's kind of on the FedCom side of energy tracking, in that you start with the amount of energy at the beginning of the turn. You can actually transfer based on an EPR. Rating, the energy power ratio. And that's considered, like as Chris and I mentioned, basically they're considered batteries. That rating is a battery rating. So you transfer for one turn to the next that amount of energy, that if you have that amount of energy left over that you haven't used of the power points that you used, and then you have that amount of power points to use up during the turn, just like FedCom. But certain things don't cost power points. It doesn't cost you power points to fire weapons. And of course, it doesn't cost you power points to launch drones either. But and this, the drone racks here, you see the little diamonds. The diamonds are the expendables. You know, the box here is just the weapon itself. So you have two drone racks with four drones each. And they're marked EXP. EXP stands for expendable. So that you use it and it, you know, you have to track the individual ones. Now, I was reading up on plasma. Plasma is an interesting idea. Okay, this is Klingon Armada. I don't have Romulan Armada up. But the interesting part about plasma is they're EVPs. It's a special weapon trait for Starfleet battles, for the Starfleet universe, for Starmada, and it's called EVP. They're evaporating. Now, what they do is that I saw this and went, wow, that's a neat way of doing it. So in Starmada, they have their concept of a flight, like a flight of fighters. Now, what they did to simulate a plasma torpedo is that when you launch a plasma torpedo, it has a certain number of flights based on the size of the actual based on the size of the torp. Don't mind me. I'm actually looking at my hard copy. See? A hard copy, which is what I actually read, because I can't, reading online doesn't really help me much. It's on my computer. Here's what I'll quote the trait. Evaporating weapons are seeking weapons that start out very powerful but lose strength the longer they remain active. Each time an evaporating seeker flight ends its activation without impacting its target, remove one seeker from the flight. So it's like it's reducing the strength of the torpedo by removing one seeker from the flight. Which I think is it's a cool idea, a way of having it so it tracks on the board. And okay, you do not combine the rate of fire, ROF, of multiple evaporating seeker mounts when firing at the same target. Each mount generates a separate flight indicating of the separate flight of the indicated size. So it will do that. Actually, I'm almost going to see if I've got right here. This is the Romulan Armada. I don't have the PDF up for it. I just want to do a quick look-see here at what it says about. Okay. So it has an MA of 8. And I'm assuming that's what it's talking about when it comes to the flight size. MA of 8. The drone is a MA of 6. Which that's obviously that's the amount of damage that is caused. I'm not sure. Honestly, I'm not sure why the drone racks have short, medium, and long range, to be honest. Because there are no ranges involved. I'll have to take a look, see more about that. Of course, just like any Klingon, it's got an anti-drone and tractor beams. And as I mentioned, tractor beams work, for the most part, like tractor beams for SFB. Tractor Beam is actually work a little different in functionality. And actually, it had two. Yeah. Tractor Beams, when it comes to tractoring a ship, doesn't quite work the way it does in SFB in that you don't have to add, in the case of SFB, what you do is you add the two movement costs together, and then that will give you the speed of the each individual ship. In the case of Starmada, what it does instead of actually slowing down the ship, what it does is, I gotta look at this again, because basically, one of the ships gets to decide where both ships go. Now, I don't think they he even mentions the idea of multi-party tractors, which is always interesting when it comes to SFB. Okay, here it is. The effect of a tractor link is to force one starship to follow the movement orders of the other starship during movement phase. However, it is an open question which ship takes precedence. Both ship records record movement orders. Once orders are revealed, determine how much power was used by each ship for movement. By multiplying its engine requirement by its EPR, the ship with a higher product follows the movement orders while the other ship is moved along with it, keeping its relative position. So basically, if both ships have the same product, the effect is washed and neither ship moves. Wow. That's an interesting thing. So, engine required by ZPR. So, my assumption then is that, let me just look at this for a moment. It's a good way of swimming. I don't know what, not that one, I want this one, don't I? No, I want a little farther down. Give me this one. Because I want something small. Right. Yep. Basically, the EPR basically defines what we call moving cost is what it does. A larger EPR has a larger movement cost. While when you multiply the amount of engine requirement, basically how much faster you're moving, you multiply that by the EPR. Multiply that by the EPR, then that the person with the larger one, there's the one that they're the person who's in control, and they go, okay, you're moving with me, blah blah blah. While so that if, let's say that you decide that you want to stand still in Star Armada, you can't. If you just want to sit there and act as a just an anchor, you can't. You can have it so that you make sure that another system cannot leave, but you have to basically put all your power into movement, or you basically use up all your engine is what you have to do. And that's assuming that, yeah, you have to use up your engine, because if you use up all your engine, depending upon what your engine rating is at that moment, you should be able to either control, make sure that the your enemy ship does not escape the board. In other words, you can control where it goes, or have it so that even if you're equal, neither one moves, so you're stuck. Which is, again, it's one of those really weird things about the rules, you know? Oh, just a quick mention. Chris says the EPR is four times the movement cost of FedCom ships. Okay, two science, labs. They actually have idea of labs, which are used for gathering information. course, you have Marines, probes, and shuttlecraft. And then down at the very bottom is movement orders and notes. Now, I'm just going to... Okay. I want to do just one quick mention about movement orders. Now, as I mentioned last week, when it comes to movement orders, you can do it one of two ways. You can do it kind of free movement. At least that's what... Let me see if I got this right. Because... boom, boom, boom. Yes, I'm looking things up on the physical copy. It makes it easy. Okay. A, if using random movement initiative, assemble the shuffling activation deck. Okay, B, this is for the orders phase. This is not in the movement phase. Which is weird. Okay. Just look at this. If you're using sequential movement, alternate preceding steps through... Oh, okay. Kind of. Right. If you're using sequential movement, alternate proceeding through steps 1D through 2C. Okay. If one side has more than twice as many ships, then one side moves multiple ships at a time unless the movement... The random movement using the random movement initiative. C. No, 1C. If not using sequential movement, conduct steps 1D through 2C simultaneous for all ships. D, which is record movement orders, determine engine requirements, expend boosters, which there are no boosters, record use of secondary weapon modes. I'm not sure there is those for SFB, and record shield reinforcement. I'd have to look at that. And E is reveal movement orders, confirm orders are valid. And then 2A is remove cloak starships from the game board, return uncloaked, and detect cloaked starships to the game board. Make B is make act hyperdrive warm-ups, remove starships entering from hyperspace from the game board. There is none. Huh. That's interesting. Chris is just saying secondary weapon mode would be a plasma bolt. So you're saying that before you get to the combat phase, you already have to define whether you're using a plasma as a plasma bolt versus a seeking weapon. Which I have to go read up on that. Because I haven't actually read the Romulan model. I've only been reading the Klingon model. I probably should have read the Romulan model, which is basically the same thing as the Klingon model with some additional stuff when it comes to the plasmas and a different set of ships. See, move all the starships on the game board according to the movement rules, movement orders. Okay, then apply damage from minefield, blah, blah, blah. Float game board as necessary and resolve stacking. I have to look at that because of. Actually, do they have that rule in here? I know I have it in. Obviously, I have it in the core. System, okay. Here it is. Stacking. Starships may move through hexes occupied by other starships without instant space is big enough for the pass. Further, two more ships from the same side may end their ship in the same hex. However, if a ship from opposing sides end their movement in the same hex, the situation must be resolved. Roll one die for each ship and add its current engine rating. Whoa. So you can't end at range zero. Okay, I'm just going to do one quick check here. Ba-bum-ba. Nope. There is no override rule for the SFU section, which means that is true. I did not realize that. Okay. Yeah, Chris. Yeah, I know those name. It's just that I didn't see the plasma weapons actually mentioned, other than the EVP. Meaning, maybe I missed it. Now you forced me to look, which is, I know there is a section for it. I just don't know if it's in here. Okay, boom, boom, boom. Okay, there's dual mode weapons. Okay. Can design weapon system to be able to switch between modes as a tactical situation requires, for example, a powerful. The specific mode to be used is chosen at the time. At the time, targets are declared. All the weapons in the given bank must use the same mode, although different banks may use different modes. So, to me, oh yeah, you're right. There's plasma torpedoes. Okay, yeah, I see that. I don't see bolts mentioned. Okay, actually, let me look at this. Okay, that makes sense for the stats when it comes to that. Actually, I don't know if that makes sense for the stats. Take a look, see there. But yeah, Chris, the thing is, as I'm with the dual mode weapons, it's not defined during orders, during movement. It's defined by when you actually define your targets. So, when you declare your target, which would be actually combat phase one, that's when you actually be able to select the mode. Okay, what's this? Let's see, two. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's weird. Okay, the specific mode is used at the time a targets are declared. Okay. Yeah. But yeah, and Chris is correct that the plasmas are defined on pages 36 and 37. Exactly. Now, the only one issue I have with that is that it does not state how to do plasma bolts. I'm assuming that the stats, actually, even let me just look at this again, because they have a little weapons chart, right? Okay, I don't see it. In the combat, they show actually page 35. So let me see if I can bring. Let me show you this to you what I'm talking about, right here. And here, see, you have the range here, but a plasma torpedo, plasma GSR, they're just marked as M8 for all of these, which is interesting. Stats here, which I assume is based. That'll base it on. That'll be damage on these things, which I have to read up on the stats. That's not what I was going to be discussing tonight, which is weapons fire and two hits and all that kind of thing. That's next week. But so I don't. I would assume that if there's a separate mode, I could see it on the combat chart here for the weapons. In which case, you know, and in addition, the weird part is that it states in the phases, in the order phase, that's where you specify the alternate modes of the weapons. But in the rules themselves, they state that it is, you don't define the mode for a dual mode weapon. You define it at the time of selecting your targets. Well, announcing your targets. So it's not, it wouldn't be during movement, which is basically what it is. Well, during orders, you don't define your targets in the orders phase. You define your movement in the orders phase, which is weird. But again, that's, we're talking about Starmada here, and what I'm showing, what I'm looking at here in Klingon Armada, it is a trimmed down version of the orders phase and so forth. I think it is. I'd have to double check the actual core when it comes to that. Let me just move down to the ship again. Just want to make sure I did not miss anything before I move onward. Right, okay, you got the Marines. You can still, you know, attack Marines. You know, still got the probes, so you can fire probes. And of course, also you have two shuttles. And actually that's one thing I had to look up, which is I did not read up on use of shuttles, because I'm not sure if shuttles can only, if they're just add, you know, I think shuttles are basically slow seeking weapons. Is what they're considered in Star Armada. I can just do a quick look see for that. Okay. Suicide shuttles, you know, suicide shuttles. Can shuttles be used for anything but suicide shuttles? And I can see now John's probably going to announce that before. You know, post that before I'm able to look it up, because I think he knows more about Star Armada than I do, which would not surprise me in any way, shape, or form. Yeah. Don't mind me. Yes. Can't find it at the moment, and I'm not going to waste the time of the podcast just looking that up. I will make sure I have it all looked up for next week, so that you and I will be able to discuss that. Because of, again, if it is just suicide, I have to. Are you sure about that? Chris is saying that he looked at Romulan Armada, and Klingon Armada. Neither do they actually explain plasma bolts. You just get the stats on the ship card.
Sweet tooth.
Now where'd I put it? This is coming on. Oh, I buried it. I'm gonna look at the actual this fed. I want to look at the Romulan War Eagle. That's a good one. Okay, there it is. Okay, so they actually have the bolt for, you know, for a plasma R with a range of 5, 10, 15 with stats of 1x4 plus /1/4. Now, 3 PP, you know, obviously 3 power points. DFS, I have to look that up. Slow. What that means with slow, with two slows, means that it only can fire once every 3 turns, which of course might annoy some people overall. And that is because of, it looks like that you cannot like fast load Plasma Fs into like the Plasma S or R. I think G, can G do that? I think the Gs can do that too. In standard SFB, where you actually can fast load them as a, you know, as an F in a G tube. Oh, DFS diffuse trait. Okay, thank you. DFS. You know, as I said, that's actually only on the ship card. So, you know, that's why I didn't look it up, because I was just looking up the weapon. The actually, it's based on the weapons chart, which is, yeah, yeah, the same thing. Anything else? Yeah, and when it comes to use of these cards, the whole idea here is that you put in your movement orders. Obviously, you put in your movement orders, then you would execute those orders. Now, here's the thing, and I mentioned this before, and it basically, from the looks of it, it gives you options. You can do kind of a free movement kind of thing, even though, from according to the rules, even in free movement, i.e. you move your ship, you move, your opponent moves their ship, you move your ship, the opponent moves their ship. You know, you'll go back and forth. Even in that case, they want you to record your movement. And I understand that, because one of the steps actually is, after you reveal what your movement is, then you both can verify that it is valid. Because actually, when it comes to, now I'm not, see, okay, what that means is that, In case of Starmada, in Starmada, normally, if you reveal an invalid movement, the penalty for plotting an invalid plot is that you go straight based on the previous game, previous turn's speed. Just go straight. So if you were going to speed 6 the previous turn, then you just go straight to 6. Now, here's the thing. According to the SFU portion of Klingon Armada, you don't have a previous, because of there is the whole, it's not really vector based. You have no momentum. So in that case, you're starting your previous game's turn is not your previous game's speed. The previous turn speed is not your previous turn speed. It's always, the previous turn speed is always considered 0, which that means is that according to the rules, if you as the player write down your plot and it is wrong, if it's completely, utterly invalid, the penalty for writing down an invalid set of movement orders is you don't move. Your speed is 0. So you do not move whatsoever. So if you had planned on moving, getting closer to your opponent, you can't do that. You plan on running away from your opponent, you can't do that. It needs to be absolutely certain to be 100% valid. Now, there's always the question in my mind, which is, how many people, given that if you're doing this free movement where you're going back and forth, you're doing a, you know, basically free movement, how many people are actually going to record their orders? they're going to get, they're used to SF, if they're used to SFB, they're not going to write down the orders. Now, if they're used to Starmada, if they're coming from, you know, the big, you know,
the big book,
you know, Starmada, Unity rulebook. If they're coming from here, I'm willing to bet they're more likely to write down their movement orders because that's what they're used to doing. So, Starmada, I like this. I like it. I would not want, if I was to play it, I would not want to use basically free movement, i.e. that, what they call that? I think they call it sequential movement. Is that what they call it? I want to look up the term book fast. Just give me a sec. They call it sequential movement. If you're using sequential movement, that's when you go back and forth. If you're not using sequential movement, i.e., what you're doing is everyone writes down their plots and go, here's the plots for all my ships. Now, I think some people are going, why in God's green earth would I do that for all my ships? How many ships do you have? I mean, let's be honest here. How often do you... Yeah, bingo. Case in point. Chris says, and I quote, I never plotted in Starmada. Did I go free movement and also tried the old 10 impulse movement chart from old SFB? And he, you know, so again, Chris's case in point, in that if you come from SFB, you know, you're not used to doing pre-plotted movement. And as it is, here's the thing. In Starmada, you're not moving that fast. It's like doing a pre-plotted movement for 8 impulses. Now, it's you can actually make it akin to FedCom and one of those modifications that I mentioned before about how I thought it would be really an interesting idea for play-by-email FedCom without moderation, without just required one minor tool, which is the whole idea, as I pointed out, for FedCom to do this, where basically you pre-plotted movement, your movement section is all pre-plotted. And then when it comes to, I forget what it is. I think it's launching torpedoes. You basically has to be secret. In that case, you need a tool that actually allows you to submit. Each person has to submit their secret to a third party. I'm thinking that's the website that can easily do this. And then when everyone's orders are passed, are sent to it, it just sends out an email saying, here's what the secret was. So everyone knows what it was. You know, and you could do that without a moderator. You know, if you just did that pre-plotted, the minor pre-plotted movement of four sub pulses. And I think that would actually could work out quite well. Now, again, the reason why I like pre-plotted so much is I got introduced to it by the original Starmada Admiralty Edition when it was a demo shown at Origins. To this day, that has definitely had a lasting impression on me for this how many years now? I think it might be maybe closer to 10 years. I still have that. I think about it and I get excited about it. About doing pre-plotted movement. I knew some people were going, well, that's so weird. But that's not... The thing is, the whole idea of pre-plotted movement, the idea of saying, okay, this unit is going to do this, and this turn, and this unit is going to do this, that's nothing new. There are games out there, including one, you know, called XCOM, that does that. Where actually, it's not just movement, it's actions. You pre-plot the whole thing. And then after you've done it for your whole, for the whole team, you go, bum, bum, you moved all those, you've plotted all them, then you go, click, execute. And then it's much nicer than SFB Online, in that you've got actually moving characters doing this, and then they do an interaction or whatever. You know, so it looks much nicer, but it's still, at the root of it, it's the same thing. So that's why I think, you know, pre-plotted movement can be really, really cool. I get excited about it every single time I think about it. Because I think about the first time I ever played Starmada, and it's like, wow. Now, the one bad thing about Starmada back then, when it comes to Almaty Edition, was that they use vector-based, and I think I pointed out, I think it may have been maybe the week before, I forget which. But in the past few weeks, that the bad thing was it was using vector-based, and which means that if your engine is like engine 6, like this D7 is, and you're going speed 6, and then you decide, I'm going to continue going forward. So you put 6, and now you're moving 12. Now, after you got past 6, you're screwed. You cannot turn at all. You're just going, you end up being a seeking weapon. It's a rocket. That's all you're doing. When you start moving faster than your engine rating is, you cannot move. You can't turn. So what you have to do is you have to spend energy. You have to spend your engines, just basically putting on the brakes, so that you can finally slow down enough so you actually can turn. Now, obviously, if you're in the middle of a combat, you're not going to do that. You're not going to crank it up so fast that you can't turn. You won't be able to maneuver. But it's one thing you always have to keep an eye out for. Is that, okay, you might decide that, okay, one turn, you're just going to put on the thrusters and you can go straight out. Well, now your previous speed was speed 6. That means you have to spend, at the very least, part of that turn slowing down. So kind of crazy. So what I'm hoping to do is next week, either I'm hoping to go through movement and combat, and obviously, and have also not as much a movement, but definitely a combat example. I want to go through a combat turn with between two ships. Well, I'll probably do is something like Klingon D7 and Federation on CA. It's probably what I'll do. Something along those lines. Something relatively simple, but it'll show the interactions of each. I might even decide to put in a drone or two on the board just to see that interaction too. So, with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.